Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
So you're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us, friends. No matter if you are the publisher or the critic or if you are the artist or the subject of the book, no matter the role, you have a purpose. You are leading that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip leaders, let them lead them where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling our lives, our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, broken, desperate, isolated people in building a wall in ancient Jerusalem. It essentially helping them build a way of life that still stands to this day. And he cued them up in a CUE. It is, C is for common ground. What can we agree on? It's the why. U, unified thought. What vision can we share? It's the what. And E, equally yoked. What is the game plan? What's the role in it? What's success look like? And really the overall plan and the end game in this is the how. So Q leadership as a whole integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as an example as a model in helping us do two things. Number one, get people to trust you. And number two, get people to follow you, discipleships. And those two elements are axes of leadership. As we kicked off the show, as always, we want to start with a word of prayer. So, Lord, you have powerful, merciful, living God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and the audience and all that are serving you. Lord, we know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, by giving you the glory, Heavenly Father, and serving this generation through Q, Lord. Lord, your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, Lord, please use this ministry to complete that purpose. Align, equip, and transformation of new leaders in your glory. Help others hear the call, receive the call, and raise some of those transformational and gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So our show, On Cue, is a ornament on the Christmas tree of Cue leadership. It is, in a sense, what we try to do is have a dialogue. It is have a conversation about leadership in God's word. We try to equip leaders with a roadmap and to tap into faith and building that trust and building that discipleship. We try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference that can testify to God's glory and being transformational in his name. Our show is a lot of things, but our show is not to criticize, but to shine a light on some truth and love. It is not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but rather focus on the root of the problem. In essence, treat the infection, not the run of your nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open that we hear the Lord and not me. Make sure we have the right questions, no matter the differences. Remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinions, of course, but let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. And be thought partners. Have a fruitful dialogue. So friends, today is another time for Q leadership. You know, it's March 30th. It's another great day the Lord give us. But this day it has a different significance for us, for my family. You know, today, as I ask for your prayers for me and my family, a year ago today, this weekend, Easter weekend, matter of fact, our dad, our pops, our chief, Tommy Powell Jr., went on to glory. He lost his battle with cancer, and we thank God for him and thank him for allowing us to be here today. You know, emotions are still just as raw, but not as fluid as used to be. You know, today was a tough day for all of us, I think. As we asked all our guests with the first question, you know, what is that one word that describes you? There are a few words that could describe my pops. You know, his husband, father, grandfather, brother, uncle, son, you know, coach, protector, counselor, reality checker, a jokester. You know, he loved, and he was loved by many people. He took a lot of pride in his grandkids. But if there's one word that described him, it was chief, which inspired our chief builder's concept here, and we'll tell you more about that later. But he was a leader of our village. He queued us up by finding the common ground for all that he encountered, shared the unified thought of leaving people better than where he found them, and thirdly, equally yoked us in sacrifice and accountability. You know, you can always depend on him, even in the midst of with intimate secrets. You could tell him and the other stay with him, at least I thought. You know, years ago, as I was planning to ask my then girlfriend, my now wife, to marry me, I was trying to put things in order. I had asked Ty's mother already, and of course, Ty's father had passed before we met. I was living in Texas at a year or two at that point, and had driven back to propose, and of course, Ty had said yes, and that was a good thing. The plan was to go for the two of us to go back to my hometown to share the news with my family in a couple of days, but I knew that my pops didn't like surprises, you know, especially the good ones, right? He loved to say, "I already knew." He loved to say that. So he knew he would have been insulted if it had not if I had gone on and not said anything. So the next steps was to share that with him as well as my brothers. So I drove down, and my brother Tom and Dad and I rode off as we always. My brother Jody was deployed with the Navy at the time, and I told him, and of course they were excited, and classic pops say, "Hey, tell me something new." I knew that would happen. You know, and he, you have to understand that my wife Ty was the first that I actually invited home from college. She's practically spent more of half of her life as being part of us than in any place. But you know, but I asked them both not to tell anybody until Ty and I got back. We wanted to tell everyone at the cookout on Saturday. So Tom agreed, and then my pop said, "Yeah, I hear you." And I said, "Dad, you're not going to say anything, right?" He said, "Didn't I say I heard you?" I said, "Okay." Now, this is one of those awkward moments where you had to determine quickly, do I ask again and question my dad's words? You know, you didn't necessarily do that. Or did I just accept it and go? And, of course, I just accepted it and went on. So we returned to my parents' house and opened the door for my dad, and I let him in, and Tom held the door open for me, and then I came in second. And my dad was not 2 feet in the house. And he said to the full room of my family, "I bet y'all don't know what I know." I said, I was speechless. "Are you serious?" I was shocked because there is no way he was about to share what we just talked about. There is no way he was going to do it. And then he says, he actually said it, "Eric and Ty are getting married." And I said, "Pops, didn't we not just talk about that?" And he said, "You know, I never said I wouldn't tell it. I just said I heard you," which he did. And then this is he said, "This is something to celebrate." And he said, "This is a good thing." And of course, that he was excited and he was happy and knew that he could not go a day without the news on his heart. And so, but whatever remains to me at today, those last three words, "a good thing." You know, in Proverbs 18:22, the word shares, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Indeed, I did find a good thing. My wife, I say, and I know it may embarrass her, is the most beautiful girl in the world, and that's just from my perspective. She is truly why, you know, the Lord made a girl for us. She's spirited, witty, smart, funny, plenty of discernment. I don't say that from a pride, from a boast perspective, but from an honor perspective. When the Lord calls us to honor our wives, I have to commit to doing that every opportunity I have. She has been a balance for me. It did not always make it easy for her to live with me, of course, and the Lord worked through her to help me enable and really push our ministry, Q Leadership here, raise some leaders for God's purpose and a catalyst for him, for his will and for his will alone. She taught me to laugh again and not just to take myself so seriously. You know, with all my faults, she's the ideal woman for me, and she's always had my back and my front. And so she has this level of immediate discernment. And what I mean by that, and I seem to take for granted what I mean by that, is where she hears things and just have to always think about it in a long period of time in order to really make that decision. and for most things. But, you know, she loves Lord. She's a jewel. She's ultimately my queen. You know, her mom and her dad did an awesome job by raising this ideal woman for me, and which kind of relates into what we're talking about today as Proverbs 31:10-31 first, the poem in praise of a wife of noble character. That is the ideal woman. It provides the characteristics of a wife with noble character, but starts with a question in verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? Where are they? In a sense. Well, how do we know, especially in the midst of the whole perverted order of the world that we're dealing with today and a series of false truths and challenges that we all go through, which really brings up the question of the day. Ideal woman, are you raising a Proverb 31 woman? Helping us to tackle that question is LaTracy Copeland Hughes, the author of a newly published book, Raising a Proverb 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Worth, and Self-Discovery of a Young Woman. This book is a composite of portraits of ideal women within a lifetime, just as not just an individual moment. This book has 31 various stories, testimonies from 28 great women all over the world in the U.S. striving to be that Proverbs 31 women. We have at least the 6 of the 28 with us tonight to discover some raw truths about some false truths and the impact of certain elements about our society, generational curses, and other things that mama and parents sometimes didn't say. So after the break, we'll bring on LaTracy Copeland Hughes and the author of The Ideal Woman, author of Proverbs 31 Woman, Raising a Proverbs 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Worth, and Self-Discovery of a Young Woman, a long title there, but ultimately we want to bring her in during the break, so stay with us. You can't miss it. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. We're welcome to log into our Blog Talk Radio and ask questions. If you want to ask the question or make a comment, press 1 on your telephone or log them into our live chat. And when you raise your hand, that press 1 allows you to raise your hand. My daughter Kennedy can see you and bring you into discussion. So also, you know, feel free to join us. We would love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively use not only positions a person for better leadership, but a position a person for better life.
Back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Our mission here is simple, to equip leaders to help them lead where they are by getting them on cue with God's will and his purpose. And join us in a live chat room on Blog Talk Radio. We're taking calls, of course, and we welcome you to log in there or call us at 310-861-2331 to ask a question. Feel free to press 1, and that raises your hand virtually, and Madorta Kennedy can bring you in for discussion. So, friends, we would love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. So today's question, the idea woman, are you raising a Proverb 31? We have LaTracy Copeland Hughes, an author of a newly published book, Raising a Proverb 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Work, Self-Discovery of a Young Woman. And we also will have six of the authors joining us later. And so as we continue our series in the wellness over the last few weeks, you know, last week we tackled the campaign, a word of being bossy. As we concluded our guests here, we were treating the symptoms, the whole banning campaign is treating the symptoms, not necessarily the root of the problem. Our teenage guests shared that the failure in leadership in girls is not about name-calling, but rather the failure in helping girls to harness their strengths. At the root, we fail and are failing in our politically correct culture to teach them to understand that the weakness and the use of God's glory and how to harness that strength through that. So today's topic, perhaps, would administer a dose to cure the disease or fight the infection, in a sense, to answer the question of the day. The ideal woman, are you raising a Proverb 31? So helping us with that question again, so Tracy Copeland Hughes, the author of a newly published book, and here's the name of the book, is Raising a Proverb 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Worth, and Self-Discovery of a Young Woman. Tracy, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate you having some time for us tonight. And we'll share some more detail around. Tracy's also the president of Purposeful Diva Enterprise. That's where she's a nonprofit organization, work with families and youth in 6th to 12th grade in the areas of personal and academic goal setting around family involvement. So she's a very, very busy, impactful woman. So LaTracy, what we're going to do, as always, start with our first question. We got a lot to cover and a lot of people to talk to. We're very excited about having you. I want to start off. What is that one word that describes you?
Wow, the one word that describes me. Faithful.
Faithful.
Faithful, okay. Yes. That's the one word that describes me.
Why would you say that?
If I am in your corner, I'm in your corner to the end. The word ride or die, I am that. I can keep you covered spiritually. And I can also roll with you naturally. So, faithfully, I'm faithful.
You're faithful. Great. Thanks for sharing that. And we'll the audience and our friends will know that that's true by the time we finish today, this evening. This is maybe trivial for you. If money was no issue, what would you do every day?
The same thing that I'm doing now.
Okay.
Serving others.
Serving others.
Yes.
Well, awesome. It goes right back to ultimately giving God the glory through your faithfulness, right, and serving this generation at the end of the day, because it's not about us, right?
That is so true.
Not about us. So before we really jump in, so what, you know, just a short few sentences, and tell us a little bit about yourself. What will you want the audience to know before we dive into some of the things we talked about last week and as well early this week, and also about your book?
I am, again, LaTracy Copeland Hughes. I am a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur, a minister, and a friend. I have several titles in business. I'm the CEO of a nonprofit organization. I'm a president of a for-profit organization. I love serving people. I'm a businesswoman. But ultimately, I am raw. I am exposed and I am transparent.
Yep. Raw and transparent. So with that, I'm glad you shared that with the reminder. If we got a lot of listeners and would love to have, if you got some parents and young kids, if you got a it's probably PG-13 and up, right? You would say,
Yeah, because definitely.
we really want to show all of these ladies, and tonight is going to be real about their testimony, and that's what we deal with each and every day, and it's what we've got to try to uncover and try to focus on. And so just kind of be mindful of that as you listen in, because we're going to be pretty upfront on what we shared here tonight. So let's jump right in. So let's talk about you for a minute. We talked the other day, and just to kind of kick things off about the rawness, what did you mean about not being equipped for the military or being kicked out of churches?
Ooh, that was a good one, Eric. That was a good one. When we spoke the other day, I had mentioned that I was not equipped for the military because I believe that to be subservient and submissive to a call is important, but that's not me. I am a submissive woman, but I know how to lead from the back. In the area of being kicked out of some churches, I haven't, several, but in that I have lived up to the truth. If the word says something, then I'm going to live up to it. Not saying that I'm perfect, but I am truthful in the matter. If it is something that is going on, I'm going to be in order, but I'm going to let you know what is going on and how I feel about it in proper timing. And so I'm not that one that would sit back and allow mess to take place and not speak on it. So that's in business or in ministry. So I know I'm not equipped for the military or sitting behind closed doors and being quiet as that woman.
Right. And I didn't want to shine, make it seem like it's a dark or bad light on that, but I just really wanted our friends who are listening to really know who you are. And I just thought that statement really pierced through the rawness of LaTracy Copeland, if you agree.
I do, totally.
Great. So you know, again, what did, you know, to jump right in, we're going to get to the book, but I really want everyone to get a connection and a lot of things you've done, and also through this connection with you, also get a connection with the rest of the ladies we'll have on and the rest of the book and why you went about this. What do you mean when you said we can't do what Mom used to teach us about the falsehoods and other elements you talked about?
I was raised, as many other people on this call was raised, what happens in the house stays in the house. But healing doesn't start there. Many of the things that I was taught at home, and don't get me wrong, I love my mother, I respect my mother, I'm not downgrading my mother in any type of way, but the truth will make you free. In being told we had to go to church all the time, I knew what the word said, but I also knew what was taught at home, and at home superseded what the Bible said often. And so in that, the truth covered up a lot of pain. And then going to church, laying on the altar, praying and speaking in tongues and having oil slanged on me didn't always heal those wounds. And so the testimonies were just added boulders that were on me, because in church, as many of you know, you can't speak of those things. You can't speak of what happens at home. You can't speak about rape. You can't speak about domestic violence. You can't speak about sexuality. You can't speak about even the desire sin. So I realize that is difficult in the church, but that doesn't mean that the people of the church are being served in that way. And so for me, the things that I was taught at home didn't line up to what biblically was said, but I still had to live it, and I still had to have that face on through it, as many of my sisters have today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, LaTracy. I had a little interruption there from my beagle here, from my studio here. But no, thank you. Thank you for sharing that moment, because that's important. that we all have to balance what the Lord is asking to do versus what our other authorities are asking us to do. And so you spoke about the wounds. You know, we want to get to the rawness fairly quickly. You mentioned a few things. Can you talk about one of the greatest wounds that you have to cover for a period of time in order to, which really made an impact for a lot of decisions, a lot of things you've done in your life?
I have many, but one was being molested and being raped and then seeing my mom abused physically and verbally and then having to grow up and repeat that cycle. Even though you are taught, or I was taught, you should never let a man hit you, but that's what I saw. And so either you're going to do what you see or you're going to rebel against it, as we spoke about before. It is important to know that those decisions and those things that happened to me in the past, I kept buried until they were brought up in my own backyard, now being a mother and being a wife. Those same things that I went through, the rape, the molestation, the going to church on Sunday after just being assaulted on Saturday night, being quiet and not telling anyone, and then going to church and crying out to the Lord, and then the elders in the church are saying, okay, be quiet, don't tell. You know, you have to cover what happens. What happens at home stays at home. But no one was helped. No one was healed. I wasn't. It has taken me years to get rid of things, to pull back that onion, to allow that pain, that hurt, those decisions of covering it up, to be not necessarily bandaged, but to be helped. You have to take that Band-Aid off in order for the air to get to it. And that means sometimes you have to find an outlet in order to release it. And not everybody is ready for your testimony. But yep. When I saw some of the things that happened in my youth and in my adulthood that I was told to do that were okay but weren't lined up to the biblical truths, and I saw those things repeated in my children, I was like, wait a minute, hold on. If I'm going through this and I can't go to the church, if I'm going through this and I can't go to the elders because now the elders that are the great-grandmothers are actually only 37 and 38, you know, I had to look at that. The times are different. I can't go to Big Mama because where is Big Mama at now? She's a part of the sick and shut-in, and we don't even know she exists because that's not even brought up in the church. So,
right.
You know, I look at that. And so those truths that had to come out came out in this book. I
yep.
mean, I was told, this book is like the chicken soup, but it's raw. Okay, if that's what you want to relate it to. But I'm tired of not only myself, but also other women all over the world hurting, crying out, seeking help, and they can't go to the church. They can't have the assistance from another sister to just hold them where they cry and heal from it. Where they know, okay, I got over. Yeah, that brother beat me too, but I got out of it, and I don't have to go back. And so those are the things that were discussed in this book. Those were the things that I use as a platform right now to minister to others, not just women, but also men.
So you talked about, you know, throughout, there's a lot of nuggets in there. So I want to pull out one of the main ones that I'm sure we all, somewhere in our family, over the generations have dealt with. And I'm going to try to fast forward it to the present time. It's about covering, elders covering things up, covering generational issues and cycles that need to be broken. And so can you just kind of give the audience a quick perspective on the conversation once you really share it with the elders, if it's whomever in your family or in the church, that this actually happened? What was those exact words verbatim that you first heard?
Baby, be quiet and go over there and sit on that front row and wait till you're called to go up for prayer. I'm an advocate for prayer. I am an advocate for reading the Word and knowing what the Word says and abiding by it. But I will tell you that prayer isn't always that outlet, and I had to learn that. I'd be laid out on the floor, head of the floor ministry. But at the same time, I would still go home with a testimony in my belly, and Big Mama and Mother Johnson would say, no, sit down. You don't tell anybody that. You be quiet, baby. Here, get a peppermint. And that was supposed to solve the problem. And it didn't. It didn't at all. And so throughout my journey, I allowed men to come in and to hurt me, looking for that love, looking for that attention, that affection, looking for what only God can give me, because I couldn't go to someone else and seek that, because they didn't teach those things in my house. They didn't teach them in the church. So where was I supposed to learn that? I couldn't learn it at school. So it was a false truth for me. It brought me to a place of not belonging, feeling alone, and then having to read what the word says and have to walk in that. That's a big order.
It's a big order.
I thought I was supposed to do all of those scriptures in one day. I'm supposed to rise early, stay up late, use all my skills. You know, come on now.
Exactly.
It's a lot. And I know if I'm feeling that way, there's other sisters feeling the same way. It's other brothers that are out there that are unequipped to raise their daughters or to love their wives because they don't know what that wife has to go through or what that daughter has to go through in striving to be that Proverbs 31 woman. So it's not just for women. It is for men as well.
The men themselves. You talked about the false truth, and you said, in a sense, you kind of felt naked and ashamed, if you will, right? And that kind of perpetuated itself in your relationship with men. And can you talk about a false truth about sex, you know, having sex and other things you shared the other day about, you know, things that you believe which led to decisions that you can share with the audience? Because there may be someone, again, dealing with the same pain that you've dealt with and know how to and solve working with the Lord.
Like I've always said, transparency is the only way to heal.
Sure.
I was always taught that it's better to marry than to burn. That's what's in the word. But I was never taught that you're supposed to have those vows and that's supposed to be honored. You're not supposed to marry multiple times. And so my mother taught me part of what the word said, but the example that she gave me was that if you're going to have sex, you need to be married. So I did it. I got married to a man who beat the bricks off of me, would fight me on my way to church, and would follow me to church and praise God and shout up and down the floor. But then when we would get home, he would beat me again. But it was okay because he went to work and he provided for me. And that was okay because that's what I was taught at home. When he beat me and I went to my mother's home, she told me, go back. He has a job. He's taking care of you. Really? That was the truth.
Mm.
So I married multiple times. I was molested and raped between the ages of 13 and 19, but that was kept quiet. Don't tell anybody. Oh, that's not true. Oh, it's the clothes you're wearing. Oh, it's the things you're saying. It's the people you're hanging around. If you don't know any better, you can't do any better.
It was your fault.
It was my fault. So in that, and then to grow up, and I marry the first time, and he beats me, and then I escape. And then I'm looking for security and looking for love, and then I marry again. And then I'm neglected, and then I'm bound, and I'm hurt because I'm in a church grinning, preaching the word. And while I'm in that word, and I'm up in front of people with this mask on my face, he's not there. He's left me. So we get divorced. Still remain friends. Then I get married again. Well, I found out that wasn't true. This man, we went through the whole ceremony because I thought he was an awesome man of God and that he loved me. And he had me stripped down to nothing but my bra and my underwear. And he beat me for over 9 hours straight. But
wow.
I couldn't tell anybody. Because I sat there looking at the fact that I'm a CEO of a nonprofit organization. I have businesses. I have homes. I have people that know me. I'm all over Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm speaking. I'm at the Capitol. I'm doing it. I have this prestige. I can't tell anybody. And I call my mentor, the only person who I thought I could trust, and she says, if you're going to stay, write your obituary and send it to me so that I know what to do with your babies.
Wow.
And that's what brought me out of that situation. And then I was homeless in a state with people that I knew, so many folks. I was homeless. And then God said, no, I'm moving you. Still looking for love. God said, you're getting rid of everything, only to get remarried again to a man because the church said, you're with this man, you need to marry him. So I married him in less than 2 months of knowing him, only for 5 days later for him to leave me.
Wow.
And I'm looking at the cycles that's happening over and over and over again, and I'm like, I'm picking the wrong men. I'm picking the wrong situations to be in, but I'm looking for love. And God said he loves me, and he said he's going to give me a husband that's going to love me as Christ loved the church. That's what the word says, but I'm thinking this is what's going to happen.
And so he breaks the cycle for you.
Yes.
Gives you a situation so he can break that cycle. So, but let's hold it. So after the break, we're going to talk about that situation that he gives you, and then also that same situation that kind of sparked the book and this whole ministry. So after the break, we'll continue our talk with LaTracy Copeland Hughes and our book around raising a Proverb 31 woman. And please feel free to, friends, stay with us. You can't miss it. We'll continue to stay logged into our blog, in our live chat. To join us, feel free to give us a call, 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for this calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Who is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer?
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. We had a little technical difficulties there. Listening to On Cue, I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is to equip leaders to help them lead where they are by getting us on cue with God's will and his purpose. So feel free to continue to chime in with us, our live chat at Blog Talk Radio. We're taking calls and comments. Feel free, if you call to 310-861-2331, press 1 if you want to ask a question. So today's question of the day is the ideal woman. Are you raised in a Proverb 31? We have LaTracy Lee Copeland Hughes, the author of a newly published book, Raising Proverb 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Worth, Self-Discovery of a Young Woman. And we'll also have some of our partner writers on as well later on in the show. So LaTracy, I really, really thank you for sharing and being raw and being pretty open and transparent. I know it's difficult for you to relive that, but I know the strength in you, and there's a strength in your testimony that this is what you're called to do. But I wanted to pick up where we left off, you know, after all the challenges, as we get to your cycles you talked about from rape, from abuse, just from neglect, a variety of things that we all, in some form or fashion, deal with each and every day. And so, and then the cycle comes full circle for you regarding your daughter. And can you talk about that?
the cycle came full circle with me when my daughter came to me and told me the same exact situations that I had endured that she had to go through. It's one thing as a mother to cover your children. It is one thing to love them with all of your heart. It is one thing to be able to provide for them. But when you get to a point in your life and you can't protect them, you feel less than. And so in January, my daughter comes and she talks to me and she tells me some of the painful things that she's gone through. And I'm going to not be specific on the painful things that she's gone through.
Sure.
But the thing, when she came and she talked to me, God had already poured this book into my spirit 10 years ago when her dad was beating me. 10 years ago. And so for me to relive this and go through it, so when we're sitting down in January and she tells me some of the things that she's gone through, I'm like, okay, if I'm going through this, I can't go to the church.
Okay. Right. Hell.
There's not going to be a prayer meeting or a sermon about me and my family, because we've all experienced church hurt. We've been there. We know what that feels like, and it's not good. And so I kept saying, okay, Lord, all right, what am I supposed to do? And he brought the book back to me. He said, you're not the only one who was striving to be that Proverbs 31 woman. And I kept saying, okay, Lord, but why? He said, because you're not. And I asked him, why did he tell me proverb instead of proverbs? He said, because you're an individual, but you are not alone. And I'm like, wow, okay, I get it. I finally get it. I'm thinking I'm supposed to do everything that this word says in one day. But that's the idea. So in that, I looked back and I sat down with my daughter and I told her, I said, it's time. It's time, because I did not have an advocate for me. So it's time for me to walk full time into my ministry, into the call that God has placed on my life, and to go back and help other women and young girls that have been going through the same things that I have gone through, to help them. And I realized that the same example my mom was giving me, I couldn't give that to my daughter. Not saying that I couldn't. I couldn't get anywhere around what they were seeing. I was that example. I was the front person. I couldn't tell them do what I say and not as I do, which I was raised that way. But
right.
I couldn't do that with them because they were right up in my face. I had moved from Minnesota to Mississippi. I'm the only person here with my babies, and so they knew that as an example. And so I'm just like, wow, okay, all right, what am I supposed to do? So that's what birthed this book, because we are all raising a Proverb 31 woman. That doesn't mean it's just for a child. That doesn't mean that it's just for an adult. That means that woman that is inside of us, we are raising that woman that God has ordained, that God has commanded these characteristics of that virtuous woman. And so
you reached out, Lord birthed this book through you, and you reached out to other women. Can you talk about that? And and bring this all together?
Well, like I said, in January is when my daughter came to me and told me that some of the things that happened in my past had repeated in her present. And so I felt compelled that it was time to reach out to others, because I knew the things that I had gone through wasn't just by myself. And so I put the call out on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and I reached out to other women that I knew, and a lot of these women I have never met before in my life, but we are on one accord to know what the word says and that we love Jesus. And so put the call out, and I tell you, as soon as I put the call out, all hell broke loose. People's kids were acting up. My husband went in the hospital. My niece was in the ICU. It was just crazy, but I was determined, and I really thought that the women were going to back out And they didn't. Some prayed for me. Some lifted me up. Some sent me messages. Some called. Some texted. It was so uplifting. It was that sisterhood that we needed. It was that church that needed to happen. And so in the book, we ended up with 28 women that gave their testimonies. And these were raw testimonies. These weren't anything that you would see on the front row of the church. These were raw. These were real. These are things that happened to them as well as to myself. And so in that, that was the birth of this baby. And I don't believe that it just ends at this book. It is only the beginning. So the foundation is Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. But at the same time, I took out the head scripture as the title of each. And what I did was I read all of the testimonies and I gave a title that represented them very well. And a lot of people don't understand that, but these women are strong. They have overcome things in life that many can't even speak about. They have taken the stand, they have walked out on faith, and they have told their story. And so that is the women that have raised up the Proverbs 31 woman inside of them, and I am so proud of them.
So grateful. So proud of them. And, you know, the question is always, what is a Proverbs 31 woman? And as I read through some of these, you're right. You know, some resonated and some said, wow, and didn't know anybody until now that I actually happened to. And so as you point out in one of your excerpts is, you know, what is a Proverbs 31 woman? First one is virtuous. And so as we talk about virtuous, I want to bring in Leslie Epps Wallace, who her story is, her testimony is titled Capturing Virtue. And so, Leslie, are you here?
I'm here.
Leslie, how are you doing? Thanks for joining.
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Great, great. We have LaTracy on as well. And
Hi, LaTracy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Great, great. So Leslie, thanks for joining us. And you know, before we really jump into the whole notion about being virtuous, I wanted to ask you that one. That question I always asking, what's that one word that describes you in your life, in your testimony?
The one word that describes me is overcomer, because I am an overcomer. There's been a lot of things in my life, in my past, a lot of things even today that I am still overcoming. And by the grace of God, I'm able to call myself an overcomer. It didn't take me out. There are many people that I know that have went through what I went through, and they didn't make it. It was too much for them. But I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still going strong. I am an overcomer.
You are an overcomer, and absolutely, and thanks for sharing that. Based on what I read here, it had to be some strong, virtuous person in order to get through some of the things that you shared in your testimony. You know, as I read through it, though, the other question is, you know, what's that one characteristic that describes you, that best represents you as being a Proverbs 31 woman?
The one that describes me, I would say, is the Proverbs 31 woman is prepared.
Prepared.
She is prepared. And what I mean by that is for her family, she is prepared for everything that they need. She is always, and she has always what she needs in order to get them where they need to be. When we go through and we read the scriptures, we read how she goes out and she finds a land and she buys it and she works it. we read how she is like a merchant ship to her husband. She's prepared. She has things in place to whereas she can be able not just prepare for herself, but her husband and her children and also for others. And that's for me. With everything that I've went through, God has prepared me for such a time as this. He has prepared me to be able to share my testimony and not be afraid. He has prepared me to be able to share and encourage someone else. He has prepared me to pave the way to help other young ladies be able to lift their heads and hold their heads up high. He has prepared me to be able to band together with these groups of women and be able to help each other through whatever they're going through, whatever they're dealing with. He has prepared me to be able to be his mouthpiece in the earth.
Well, amen to that, Leslie. You know, this preparation is absolutely paramount in a lot of what we do, especially as we take the mantle of purpose that the Lord gives us. You know, prior to getting prepared, I wanted you to touch on part of your testimony within the book here. And, you know, as I read through it, some words kind of pop out for me, right? Identity. You can pick up one of these words and talk about it. Just these some things just kind of pop out to me. Identity crisis. Discernment. Carrying your own cup that you feel, right? Service. Due season. And then just pick one of those and share your challenge. And then at the end of most of these, what would you challenge our friends and audience to do in order to correct or manage that, in order to get prepared to move forward the Lord's will and solve that issue?
I'll choose the last one, due season. Everything happens in God's appointed time. Many of us, we don't feel like it's coming fast enough. But God knows the exact point in time, the exact place that everything is going to come to pass in its due season. Just like a mother birthing a child, the child can't come too early or it'll have problems. But the child comes right at the appointed time. And the same is with us. And that is my challenge to everybody. Don't give up, for the word tells us, in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we continue to hold on, if we continue to trust, but if we continue to allow God to be all that he promised he would be in our lives. We all have a story. We all have a past. And it's not all good. But God has promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised us that if we hold on to his unchanging hand, if we trust him, he'll do just what he promised he would do in due season.
In due season.
So my challenge.
Go ahead. Your challenge.
So my challenge to us all, it's to hold on. Don't give up. To hold on. And don't allow this journey called life to have us to be disheartened about where God is taking us, what he's doing in us and through us, but to hold on and to continue to trust him in everything. That's my challenge, because that is what will get you to your destiny.
Preparation, patience, perseverance, and trust, what I hear. And thank you for that, Leslie. That is, and I challenge everyone to go out and buy the book and especially read these excerpts and testimony. And, Leslie, I appreciate you chiming in tonight. Tracy, anything you want to add and to that perspective while we have Leslie on?
I am grateful for Leslie. She has truly been a conduit and a backbone to this project. Leslie, I think, had met me 2 days before I put the call out, and she jumped right on. And I'm grateful because, just like she said, to be prepared. You never know when you're going to be called to tell your testimony. You never know when you're going to be called to be an ear or even a shoulder to someone else. And what you go through can be a blessing. It will be a blessing to someone else, regardless to what it is. So I'm grateful for Leslie.
You're grateful. Well, thank you. Leslie, I appreciate it, and thank you for your bravery. Thank you for your resilience and being prepared. And this is a lot that our friends can learn from your testimony. And thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. That's Leslie Epps Wallace, one of the authors of the new book, Raising a Proverb 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Worth, and Self-Discovery of a Young Woman. She's one of the authors, but the main coordinator or genesis of this, LaTracy Copeland Hughes, who's here with us. And we just, LaTracy, thanks for talking and moving us forward. But, you know, as part of, as Leslie talked about, the challenge and the patience and not giving up during tough times, but when it's time, how do you do that? Right? How do you do that? You got to have some strength. You got to have some honor. And so as we think about those things, I want to bring in Toya Sheree Gathings, who's also one of the authors, and to talk about her story, which is named Strength and Honor. Toya, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Very good. Thank you for having me.
Awesome, awesome. You know, so, Toya, I want to turn it over to you a little quickly, and I'm going to put the two questions to you together, and you can take them as you like. You know, what is that one word that describes you? And then secondly, what is that characteristic in the Proverb 31 that best characterize you?
These are just so easy, it just comes out.
Okay.
that one word definitely is determined.
Determined.
Yes, that is me by far. I think I'm probably one of the younger co-authors of this book, and for me, this was actually a blessing to be able to tell my story, because I truly believe that the things I've been through in my life, that it would actually relate more to a younger generation as well. So determined definitely describes me and what I've been through in my life, because there's no stopping me. That's how I look at it. When my mind is set on something, I'm just focused and I'm determined to not more so even prove others wrong, but to maintain and prove myself that no matter what, I can do it. And why is God says so?
Right, as he said so. Okay. How would you relate that to the characteristic of which verses or perspective best characterize you in Proverb 31?
The characteristic that best described me was strength, which actually is part of my book. The section of my book is related to strength and honor, and that for me, it's so near and dear to my heart because of, as I stated, the things that I've been through. Just to even touch on, before even giving a little feed on what my story is, I've been through so much. In what I feel, even though I'm 34, in just a short period of time, growing up in Chicago, where we grew up in the projects, and not being able to have to do so much because of the neighborhood where we were in. I believe we moved outside that neighborhood when I was about 11 or 12. We moved to a southern suburb where just something as simple as Halloween, like, that changed us, like, because we never were able to do trick-or-treating in a neighborhood growing up where we lived at. There was no such thing. So to even do just things that young kids were able to do, we were never able to do that. But then even advancing, my teen years were, for me, so hard. So hard for me, from having my first boyfriend, watching him having his head blown away in front of me, witnessing him literally die in front of my eyes, and me, in a sense, kind of blaming myself for that. Then going through the process of jealousy with females, from them busting windows out my car, flattening my tires, putting flyers around town with me and my daughter's picture on it saying I've had AIDS. I mean, in that short period of time, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And for me, as I stated, I feel I have tremendous strength because I've overcome so much. And as I stated, that short period of time in my life, and maintain to keep going.
And so, in a sense, if I take your word, there was no stopping you, right?
No stopping me.
And if I read your excerpt, as you co-author here, you had a dream. How important is it for people like you and others who are listening, who are maybe going through some similar things, just to keep their dream intact? How important is it to keep it going?
I mean, everyone has a purpose, and a lot of people really don't and aren't able to tap into that purpose. We have so many people in the world that are so gifted in so many different ways, and a lot of people, I feel, they're scared to reach out on faith. And for me, it kind of, even with the process of being pregnant as a teen, it was just certain things in my life where I was like, this is just what I was supposed to do, or something in that field where I'm supposed to be here, because God keeps putting certain things in front of me that this has to be my purpose. I have to be able to do something in this field of right, because he wouldn't keep putting these things in my path. So definitely. And then it helps you inside. You'll be able to maintain, because no one wants to, everyone always say, if you are not doing what it is that you feel like it's your purpose, you'll be up every day after day. You're pretty much just getting up to wake up to get a paycheck and to move on. Like,
sure.
I can honestly say in my life, I'm happy. I'm happy to be able to wake up and do what I do and to be able to experience the things that I've experienced.
Well, amen to that. I definitely understand. Once you understand your purpose, it just takes over you. And testimony to that. So as before we let you go, what would you challenge our friends, those are listening today, around determination, around strength and honor? How would you challenge them today in order to really make them think that this is something we need? I can use, I can change, I can do today as I leave this call?
I would basically tell everyone, and you hear it all the time, people tell you no matter what, don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something. It's not just a phrase. It's true. No one can hold you back from doing what it is that you want to do but you. As long as you maintain and have the strength, the courage, and believe in yourself, and believe that God is there for you. If you truly feel that this is what it is, pray on it, plant a seed, and watch it grow.
And watch it grow. Watch it grow.
Watch it grow.
Latoya, I really, really thank you for sharing that. Latrice, anything you would add to Toya and her testimony, her story, before we move to our break?
My little sister, I am grateful for you. You have pushed me in ways you didn't even know. And we can talk about that more one-on-one, but you have been one who has shown that strength, even though we've never met face-to-face. And so for you to be determined to make a better life for you and your baby, that's an example to not only me but to others. And so although you put it on the paper, trust that that was not just your beginning.
Amen.
So I'm excited for you.
And I thank you. Anytime I talk to you, you know, I always tell you I thank you, and this
yes.
was truly a blessing for me to be able to get this out. And I truly hope it reaches the right, not even the right people, but any and everyone, because as we stated, everyone has a different testimony and a different story, and at some way or event, you either have a family member, mother, sister, cousin, someone who has been through at least one of our stories.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
I just hope it touches any and everyone who reads this book. And I thank you again, Tracy.
I'm here for you.
Well, thank you, Toya. I really appreciate you for joining us. And your testimony is one of those that'll stick with me for a long time. And hey, thanks for joining us. And I'll make sure I put out your information, your contacts through your public contacts through our Facebook and as well as Twitter as we close the show out tonight. And thank you.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you.
Thank you. And so Tracy, we want to take a quick break, but we're going to do one more before the break. You know, as you go through life, you go through challenges, you may go through things that not necessarily people may like or dislike. But you know, when it comes to relationships, you know, there's a triangle. One of my old mentors always say, it's about trust, like, and respect, right? If you break one of those stools on that three-legged triangle, it affects the other. So you always have to make sure you maintain that trust, like, and respect. And so, you know, as we think about I Am a Proverbs 31 woman, this next guest, Aisha Adams, talked about her excerpt is I Am a Proverbs 31 woman. But I think what describes her best, and I'll let her share, is about she's strong and respected by people, in a sense. And so I want to bring her on to kind of talk about that, talk about herself, and share her testimony a bit. So, Aisha, are you on? Aisha, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good, and yourself?
I'm doing great. So this is Aisha Adams. She's an author and also an inspirational writer and blogger herself. And so Aisha, if you could just start off, you know, the first two questions, you know, what's that one word that describes you? And then share the audience a little bit that main characteristic that best represents you when it comes to Proverbs 31.
Well, one word that would describe me, I would say, would be I'm a winner.
You're a winner.
Okay. A winner, yes. And the characteristic that would describe as a Proverb 31 woman would be wise. I know you said one word, but I had encourager and
mm-hmm.
wise and respectable.
And respectable. You know, and you know, that's you gave me a verse around she is strong and respected by the people, and she looks forward to the future with joy, speaks wise words, and teaches others to be kind. You know, you mentioned at the beginning of your excerpt as, and it kind of struck me a little bit, but I wanted to kind of get your perspective on it. You said that the goal of a woman is somewhat uniquely one day to become a wife. Can you share more
yes.
in that perspective and let the audience understand what do you mean by that?
Well, in the Bible, God lets us know in the beginning that he's sending Adam and Eve together, and that's a promise that's in the Bible that we can become a wife. So I'm letting the people know, the women know, the young ladies know, that one day you will become a wife, because that's how God planned it in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, amen to that. You know, you're so right. He didn't mean for us to be alone, be one to another
right.
in all sorts of perspectives. You know, if I go deeper, if I hit you pick the word winner. But as I read through your testimony, You had to seem to have to learn how to win. I'll say that because you characterized yourself at some point was a slacker, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you meant and what the people, women need to know about the push that they would need in order to get overcome that?
Well, before I got married, I was in school and I was doing the teenage thing and all that, but I didn't have a drive about myself. My parents, they put the biblical principles in me. They my dad drilled it in me and my sisters. And so I didn't know, they didn't push me like to go get my license and things like that. Like I kind of had book sense, but I didn't have street sense. Mm-hmm. I had the word in me, but I needed some more. I needed a push, and I needed them to tell me about other things in life that's happening, not just what's in the Bible, because I'm going to come out in the world one day, and I'm going to get married and have my own family. I'm going to be on my own, but I need to know some other things about the Bible. The Bible is good and everything, and I really appreciate them teaching me that, teaching me about the Word of God, but I needed more than that. I needed a push. I didn't have a drive.
Need to push
about
you
the outside world.
Drive in order to live in the world, right? Would you also, in a sense, characterize it at the application of it, of the word as well?
Well, when I was my parents they drove that in me. I wanted to seek out and see what I can do on my own. So a lot of the stuff that I did. You know how when you sneak out and you sneak in and doing things like that,
mm-hmm.
I started hanging around the wrong crowd. And the guy that I used to date, he was a slacker. And so that rubbed off on me more. So I started trying things out and seeing what the world was like. So that's what caused it me not to be persisted in things, and I was kind of a little lazy. I got lazy, and I didn't have a drive.
I get it. So let me connect the two at the beginning. You mentioned the goal, one of the goals of a woman to become a wife, and once you become a wife, you find a husband, of course, and then you use what touched me was this Turkish proverb, and you said a lion sleeps in the heart of every brave man. And I'm going to keep that and steal that if you allow me. But did a man, your husband, bring out the lion in his wife, or should he suppress it?
Yes, sir. Yes, he did.
Yes.
Because I was shy. I was shy and kind of timid, too. So a lot of things my husband taught me that my parents didn't teach me. See, when I got married, my husband taught me things out in the street, things I need to watch, I need to be careful, I need to do this. You know, he taught me a lot, and it brought out more confidence that was suppressed inside of me. So he brought that out. He brought the lion out of me.
He brought the lion out of you. So what would you challenge people today who probably have dealt with your situation before, coming from shy or not having drive and so forth, how do you help them break out of that? What would you challenge today? Yes.
Yeah, make sure you surround yourself with the right people. It's a verse, I believe, in Proverbs where it says, when you hang with the wise, you'll be wise. But if you hang with fools, they'll get you in trouble, and that's what happened to me. I got in trouble because I hanged around people that didn't want to do things, and I tried stuff out myself. So I hung around the wrong people, but I would advise you to hang around people that are dreamers, that are doers, that are fire starters, that are encouragers, people that want to do something with their life.
Dreamers, doers, and fire starters. Asia, thank you for that.
History makers, yes.
And history makers, love it. I love it. So hopefully some young ladies are listening to that, and some young men are listening to that this tonight. Mm-hmm. LaTracy, what anything you want to add to with Aisha before we take our break?
The fact that I am humbled by her submission, and just the fact that she is a known author, and she took the time to collaborate on this project, not because she felt like it was going to be a negative connotation or anything against the church, but she needed to tell her story, and I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
You're
and Aisha, I thank you all for coming on tonight and sharing testimony. You know, we're talking about the new book just recently released with LaTracy Copeland Hughes, and we have a co-author, Aisha Adams, here. The book is Raising a Proverbs 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Work, and Self-Discovery of a Young Woman. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue and answering the question about ideal woman. Are you raising a Proverbs 31 woman? So stay with us after the break. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. If you got any questions from any of the authors, press 1 on your telephone, and we'll bring them back in. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue, and your host, Eric Powell, will be right back after the quick break.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. Just listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Our mission here is to equip leaders to help them lead where they are by getting us on cue with God's will and His purpose. Please join us in the live chat room at Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to ask a question, you can log in there or call us at 310-861-2331. Feel free to press 1 on your telephone to ask a question. My daughter Kennedy will bring you in. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. Today's question of the day is the ideal woman. Are we raising a Proverbs 31? We have LaTracy Copeland Hughes, an author of a newly published book, Raising a Proverbs 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Worth, and Self-Discovery of a Young Woman. And as well as we've had some of co-authors on here tonight. So LaTracy, thanks for staying with us tonight, and it's definitely been a fruitful and as well as a blessing for us so far. Anything you would add about those three ladies we've had prior to, before we bring on a couple more?
Those ladies are awesome. They are truly fire starters, and they are ready to go forward into the kingdom.
Well amen to that. You know, our last guest was Aisha Adams, and she left us with a word of in Proverbs about hanging with the wise rather than the foolish. And so as we think about the definition of a Proverbs 31 lady woman, we pick up the word virtuous wisdom. And so with that, we have Monica Cooper, who's a poet and inspirational writer, and uses these meanings really inspire people creatively. And she has a pen name, Kingdom Diva. And so I want to bring her in. Monica, are you with us?
I'm here. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Great. Well, thanks for hanging in with us here, and hopefully you've been able to be in for the whole time. You know, I want to kick off, as I've done with the others, with the first two questions. You can take them together or separately. What's that one word that describes you? And then what is that characteristic from Proverbs 31 that represents who you are?
The one word I think that describes me would be a connector. It kind of talks and speaks back to some of the gifting that God has given me. So connector would be that descriptive word.
Okay.
And as it, the word that speaks to me from Proverbs 31 is being a giver. So many times our life experiences teach us a whole lot, and it doesn't do much good if we don't share it. And in order to raise Proverbs 31 women, we've got to break the cycle of the silence of our experiences and sharing it with our younger generations.
Yep. And thanks for coming on today to help break some of that silence. And I thank you for, I can see these two words, nectar and the giver, really playing right into the Proverbs 31, verse 20, where she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. So in order to do that, you got to connect people and resources and talents in order to move that forward. You know, as we talk about, as I read through your excerpt, Monica, the virtuous wisdom, you know, there's a few words that kind of come out. It is being one to another, being a brother's keeper, and a whole sorts of elements. But I wanted to ask a few questions and help the audience understand what do you mean by a treasure secret?
I think that oftentimes when we go through life experiences, all of them, they're not going to be positive, so to speak, or they don't all feel good, so we don't see them as treasures. But I am a firm believer that every experience that we go through has purpose in it. One of the main things that I've learned in the past few years in my personal life is that pain itself is birthing something very great in me. Learning experiences produces wisdom, and those things that we go through, good, bad, painful, pleasant, they are treasures, and we should not keep our treasures secret.
We should not keep our treasures secret. You know, I had a show a couple of weeks ago, and a pastor was talking about that subject, and he said, your misery is your ministry at the end of the day. I think that's another way of sharing what you just said there. You know, and as you go through this pain, you talked about a stretching. Right, you get stretched a little bit. Can you let our friends know what do you mean? What is stretching?
For me, what stretching has been is LaTracy talked a lot about growing up in the church and knowing the word, being taught the word. But Aisha brought it home when she was talking about, but she needed more. And so many times what we need is to learn how to apply the word that we've learned and live that in day-to-day life. And that doesn't always just, we don't wake up one day and understand how to do that. And when we live our lives, go through our life experiences, what we need to do is we grab all the good from that, and we have to share it forth. Every time that I go through something, it stretches me. It gives me more capacity. To me, that's what enlarging my territory is. It gives me a new space where I can live from, that I can own, that I can seed, that I can get harvest from. So the expansion comes through that process. Some may be painful, some may be pleasant, but we see so many examples in the Word of God where painful experiences really birth the promises of God.
It does, and I like the whole concept of giving more capacity. it gives you more capacity, of course, to do more, to serve, to be the connector, to give, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And being able to write for the first time in a more public way, the platform, I'm really, really grateful to God for the vision he gave LaTracy and the opportunity that he gave me to participate in it. But what we've got to learn, even in our writings, we've got to take that to the streets. I do a lot of volunteering in my community where I work very closely with our school district because life happens, as so many of the women before me have testified to, life happens to all of us. And it's happening to children around us as we speak, you know. So to have the opportunity to go into our schools to mentor young girls, young ladies, and share our experiences to help them, it's just our way of giving. One of the things I mentioned in my writing was the scripture where it says that God so loved that he gave, and I'm the same way. The love that I have for the world around me, the children in my community, I love them, but I love them so much that I'm willing to give of myself and take time out of my own life to do things to help them, to spend time with them, to listen to them, to share stories with them, to walk with them, cry with them, to just experience life with them, to show them that the exact same thing that they may be going through, I've gone through it, I may know somebody who has, and they can overcome just like we have.
Right. So I love what you just shared. It's so simple. God so loved that he gave. So is that your challenge to people listening tonight? Give?
It sure is. My challenge is that we not only talk about what we've been through among each other, you know, we don't only write about it, but we live it, and that we allow God to use us through the words we say, the deeds we do, because God is seen in the world through our hands and our feet and through our mouth. We are his instrument. And my challenge to everybody today is to take everything that God has blessed you with, your gifts and talents and your experiences, and share those with the generations to come.
Well, amen to that. LaTracy, any comments, anything you want to share with Monica?
Monica's in my own backyard. I love the fact that Monica and I connected a little bit over a year and a half ago, and she came into my life at a time that I was searching for someone who was like-minded in this environment of being in southern Mississippi. And we connected because of our pen names. Mine is Purposeful Diva, and hers is Kingdom Diva. And I am excited to see what God is going to do and how collaboratively we can work together in our own backyard to make a difference in the lives of others. So I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your vision and the fact that you never gave up and that you aren't proud, that you reach back and you bring people with you. I appreciate that very much, very much. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for both of you. And, Monica, I appreciate you joining us and look forward to good things to come with this book.
Yes.
Thank
Great.
You so much.
So, LaTracy, thanks for staying on. I know we're coming close to our time, but we're going to hopefully you can stay with us a little while longer. We've got a couple more things we want to bring in, as well as our next guest as we talk about, you know, going through challenges, being broken, being molded, being filled, being expanding your capacity so the Lord can use you. Through all of those, there's some transitions that have to happen. As your book entails, we will talk about the self-esteem, self-worth, and self-discovery of a young woman. So there has to be some transitions from one state to the other. And so as we transition to discovering self-worth, we want to bring on Minister Kelly Sawyer and to talk about the whole transition of this discovering a self-worth. Minister Sawyer, are you here?
Hi, yes I am. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for staying on with us. I know you've been on most of the shows. I was purposefully want to have you last in this because it is about the transition, about the discovery here. So thanks for staying with us.
It has been an amazing show. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be a part.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to, you know, jump right in, and there's a lot of things we can share about you as an author, empowerment speaker, coach in the Chicago area, and really just being transformational in a lot of things you do, and as well as from publishing from that perspective. She has KellySawyerMinistries.org, which you can go visit on her website. Minister Sawyer, can you tell us that one word that describes you, and then talk about that characteristics in Proverb 31 that best represents you?
Absolutely. So the one word that describes me is butterfly.
Butterfly.
Yes, butterfly. And the verse from Proverbs 31, the characteristic that describes me the best is verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Back in 2002, I was asked to speak at a women's conference, and I was asking the Lord, what did he want me to talk about? And I was in a lineup with what I consider to be some heavy-hitting preachers, and when I asked the Lord what he wanted me to talk about, the Lord told me butterflies. And
right.
So being the smart mouth, disobedient child that I was at the time, I said, God, really, butterflies? I'm not talking about any butterflies. You have all these other speakers on here. I'm not embarrassing myself by talking about butterflies. And so I know that when you wrestle with God, God always wins. And God told me that I was either going to do it his way or I wasn't going to do it at all. And so I began to research the butterfly, and the one thing that I realized is that there is no greater process for transformation than the butterfly. All of the changes and everything that a butterfly, a caterpillar, goes through in order to become a butterfly is absolutely incredible. And if you'll indulge me just for a few seconds, a couple of the things that really touched me is that the caterpillar, they talk about that there are millions of different types of caterpillars that are out there. And so you really don't have caterpillars that are all the same. There are millions of different types. But those caterpillars have enemies, and the enemies are great. And it in my research, it was talking about not every caterpillar goes to the next stage in the transformation process. And
sure.
So that first touched me because I understand in the kingdom that there are many people that God has called, that God has chosen, people that are going through some great things in their life, but because they are overcome by their enemy, they never get through to the next stage. And so when you talk about strength and honor and rejoicing in times to come, if you are in a transformation process and you consider yourself to be like that caterpillar right now and enemies are coming at you, you have to be able to rely upon the strength of God and the honor that he has placed in you so that you can even move through to the next process. And so, you know, that's like a major thing because you can't soar like a butterfly if you're overcome by your enemies.
You're right. That's such an amazing process that a calibrator goes through. I had a show some time ago comparing a chameleon versus a butterfly as a leader, and you're exactly right. Literally, that butterfly has to die, in a sense, in order to be reborn.
Absolutely.
And so I want to correlate that to your story where you talk about, you know, the mask that we sometimes wear that overpass pains and abuse, but it's in a sense, it's like the
mm-hmm.
cocoon in a sense, even though you may get to that state, but there's still some pain that you got to necessarily deal with.
Absolutely.
that. So can you talk about that, the whole mask, the cocoon that sometimes we wear to really put a Band-Aid on our pain and abuse?
Yes. You know, I listened to Toya as she was talking, and she was saying that she was from Chicago and they moved from the city to the southern suburbs. Well, my parents grew up in the city, but I grew up in the southern suburbs as well. But when I listened to her story and the devastation that she dealt with, and then I think about my childhood with both of my parents and my father and mother knowing one another since my mom was 5 and my dad was 8, and, you know, we were very involved in the community and different things like that, most people thought that I had the perfect childhood. I had my mother, my father, my 3 brothers, both parents worked. We did some of the thing, whatever basically kind of we wanted to do. I went to Europe when I was 16, turned 17 in France. And so people thought I had this picture-perfect childhood, that I didn't have any problems. I didn't have any issues. And I wore a mask every single day because what people didn't realize was I was expected to do a certain thing. I was expected to behave a certain way. I was expected to get A's and to, you know, go to college while I was in high school. And not that my parents even put this expectation on me, but I was Kelly. I was the only girl. I was the baby, and I was the most likely to do this and the most likely to do that, and I was in pageants and all of these different things. But at the same time, I was fondled when I was 10. And I didn't tell anybody that. And even though it didn't go further than the fondling, it still had a monumental effect on me that someone had chosen me for such a travesty when I was supposed to be this wonderful, perfect person. And who could I tell that to? And everyone had me on such a pedestal that if I told them something like that, would that mar my reputation? Would I be blamed? You know, would that make me all of a sudden fall from grace? And the people who put me up on the pedestal, would they still like me? Would they still accept me? And so I went through all of these different things because when you go through something and you're hiding behind that mask, you don't talk to anybody about it. So you don't have anything to counteract the negative talk that you're telling yourself that the enemy is feeding you because you don't talk to anybody else. So you don't have anyone saying, oh, it wasn't your fault. You weren't the one who did X, Y, Z. You didn't ask for this. You don't have that counteracting conversation. And so here it is. You spend years telling yourself negative things and believing that all of it is true because, of course, the enemy is feeding you the lies. And even though I knew the Lord, my father was a pastor, I grew up in the church, I had a relationship with God, it was still easier for me to believe the negative things than it was for me to believe the positive. For whatever reason, it was easier for me, you know, when they say the idle mind is the devil's workshop, they are not lying. That God tells us in his word to renew your mind daily. And the reason why we have to renew our mind is because the enemy loves to wreak havoc with our mind. He loves to have us having conversations, you know, inside our head of things that other people would say to us. And for whatever reason, we believe him quicker than we'll believe God. And I think part of it is because we still believe that we have to do something for salvation. We think that we have to do something in order to get God to love us. And the reality is God loved us from the very day that he formed us. He formed us in his likeness, in his image. If we could only see ourselves the way that God sees us, God looks at us through the cross. But we don't accept that for ourselves. And it took me a while to realize that I was not born perfect. I never, you know, will be perfect because I am human, but I am made in God's likeness. I'm made in his image. And God does not make any junk. I am not junk.
Essentially, you took me where I want. The next question was, you made the transition. You broke out of the cocoon. You're now a butterfly that's free, that has this freedom in Christ. What challenge would you give someone today about if they're suffering with self-worth, they haven't gone to that transition, they're not willing to die in order to get in that cocoon so the Lord can transform them? what is that one thing that you would challenge those who are listening today in order to get through?
The first thing is get it out in the open. Because, you know, the enemy works in darkness. The enemy works best in darkness. When light comes in, that's when he's destroyed. So when we have secrets and when we have things that we are dealing with that we haven't told anybody, we need to get those things out in the open. Because it is only when you get it out in the open can God use it and deal with it and take it away from your life. Additionally, get in the Word. When I studied the butterfly, it said that the butterfly changes its colors and becomes more brilliant the closer it gets to the sun. So if we stay close to the sun, if we understand that our transformation is not in us, but it's in Christ, and we stay close to his sun, then we will become more vibrant. We'll become more brilliant. We'll become everything that God has called us to be because, number one, we exposed the lies. And number two, we opened ourselves and allowed ourselves to be freed by the blood of Jesus. That is what we need to do. And God's transformation is full and complete. And just like I wrote that story to help somebody else, when whoever's listening, when they allow God to transform them, they will be able to then reach back and help their brother or help their sister to go through that same transformation process and be complete in Christ.
Be complete in Christ. Amen to that. LaTracy? What would you share about our sister, Kelly, here?
I'm in awe, partially because right before the book, I went through a transformation of rebranding, and my logo was the butterflies, and it was in the colors of purple and gold, royalty, and I loved it. And then right before the book, God just showed me that I am a fire starter. And so in all of that, the logo changed from the butterflies to a phoenix rising from the ashes. And so when you said the transformation, I'm like, wow, okay, did that just hit home for me all over again? But I'm grateful because listening to you and not only your words that you have sent me, we've never met, but you have truly been a blessing to me, and I know that your story will be a blessing to all those who read it and who come in contact with you. So thank you.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this project. It has truly, truly been amazing. And you were anointed for this project. And I really am in awe of you and the different things that you're doing. And I'm just so honored and pleased to be alongside. I really, truly am.
Okay. Praise God.
Well, thank you, Minister Kelly Soryas, one of the co-authors of Raising a Proverb 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Worth, and Self-Discovery of a Young Woman. And so we thank you for joining us. And LaTracy, we're almost at the end of our time, and I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity for you to come on and share your story and rawness. And I want to tell our friends and audience that I did not give any pre-questions to any of the authors. And we wanted it raw. We wanted it coming directly from them. And it's the word of God that's driving and guiding them in this process. So I just want to say hats off and job well done.
Yes, thank you. God is awesome. He is truly awesome.
I'm
grateful for you and this opportunity to bring the book and all of us authors as on this platform. This is only the beginning.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I just want to thank you. You know, it truly is. You know, if I think about, always think this in the form of leadership, and it is leading. It is when we talk about Q. The common ground is that you and the co-authors love Jesus, love Christ, love the Word. And the unified thought is in order to need to transform yourselves into Proverb 31 woman and equally yoked is how do we work together and impact this world? really move and tell this story to help somebody else, to be one to another at the end of the day. And I thank you for that. Is any way that we at On Cue and also Cue Leadership can support you? Of course, we'll stay in touch from just the beginning as you shared. I just wanted to kind of share that with you and thank you for the opportunity to bring you on.
I appreciate you, and I see great things in your future as well, because to base a business, a radio show, a leadership curriculum, all on the book of Nehemiah, that's deep. And so I'm looking forward to hearing more.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely going to share more. Yeah, it's definitely a word from him, and it's been a long journey. So it's a lot of great things are happening around us. So thank you for that. Just continue to pray for us, and we'll continue to move it forward.
Most definitely.
Absolutely. Well, friends, thanks for, I know we was over our time a little bit, but thanks. That's Latrice Lee Copeland Hughes, the author of newly published book, Raising a Proverb 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Worth, and Self-Discovery of a Young Woman, and as well as five of the co-authors who also join her. So, it's not a much. I always try to close with a few things. There's a lot of richness, a lot of word there. The only thing I would say is that, you know, we got to start as a serum, a curriculum, starting with the point of reverence. It is starting with the Lord Almighty as your guiding light, your star. It is the place where we start, and it says, seek you first the kingdom of heaven. Seek him first. The second thing is you hear there's a lot of confused identity and so forth is here, so it really is not understanding your identity, not necessarily who I am. We would love to say, hey, I know who I am, but it's about whose you are more than anything. I know we've all heard that, but ultimately we all belong to him. We connect to the fact that we have an identity, and we start with him as the point of reverence. We would get from definitely stay in line. The third piece of that is purpose. All of these ladies that are on tonight have a purpose, and then once they align that purpose with their knowing their identity as well as point of reverence, Lord, bring that anointing and keep you prepared in that due season. But there's a well-known pastor I love quoting, and I have to give that to him. He says, a confused identity matched with an unclear purpose leads to a sense of a blessedless life. If you read these excerpts in the book here, that the ladies share, Raising a Proverb 31 Woman, Self-Esteem, Self-Worth, Self-Discovery, they went through a series of a blessless life. But once they got themselves aligned with the Lord called them to do, understand they belong to him and understand what their purpose is, and knowing that anointing will come from him being free in Christ Jesus, and it will keep you prepared, patience in that due season, everything else will fall into place. So I started this evening talking about what March 30th meant to our family. And I started talking about my father and gave our honor to my wife. But there's one person that you just can't neglect who is, in my mind, a Proverb 31 woman, my mother Sarah, who's diligent, who's virtuous, who's kind, who served, all the things you see in Proverb 31, 10 to 31, being resourceful, to be able to feed and move and coach and help us learn for all these years, and still to this day, just the smile. Yeah, of course, she probably masked pains and so forth in herself, but it never stopped her from praising the Lord, and never stopped her from raising and impacting people. And I just kind of speechless right now, but I would just say to continue to pray for us and pray for her as we go through this tough time. Being with my pop for 54 years, a long time, and today is the year anniversary, so I just ask for your prayers and as well as ask this for comfort and just a word and give us the strength in order to build a fence around her. So as we depart today, just can remember, no matter what your challenges are, your ministry is your misery is your ministry, and you got to make sure that we're prepared and that the next generation prepared and get on cue with his will and his calling, on, and get on others on cue with that calling. And so before always, before I go, I'd like to ask all of you to like us on Facebook, on Cue Radio, put us on your prayer list, invite a friend to listen to this show. Please go and buy the book for these 28 ladies who share their testimony in order to share and impact this world. Give all honor and praise to our Master, Jesus Christ. As Minister Kelly shared, we have some freedom in Christ. And those who tuned in, my special guest, all the co-authors of this wonderful book, my producer, Assistant Kennedy, my best friend, Ty, and my youngest princess, Carson. Again, I dedicate, and also my friends and family, all everyone on Facebook who chimed in, to dedicate this show to the ultimate Proverb 31 woman, my mother. And I say just thank you. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, please email us on qleadership.com. This has been On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue that is calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue. Let us help you get on cue.